Okay, Shabbat and everyone coming to Hidden Treasures of the Midrash. It's like a mostly different crew every time, so I feel like I have to give the same intro of what Midrash is. But Midrash, very simply, it's the words of Chazal, the rabbis of the Mishnah, the rabbis of the Gemara. They're the ones who wrote Midrashim, for the most part. And one of the most famous compilations of Midrash is Midrash Rabbah. You'll often see Midrash Rabbah quoted by Rashi, quoted by other Mefarshim in their Perushim on Chumash. And a lot of it overlaps with certain Gemaras, Midrash Rabbah in particular, a lot of Gemaras that are in Yerushalmi. But Chazal speak in very fascinating, deep ways, and they hold a lot of secrets. And so what we try to do here in the Hidden Treasures of the Midrash here is we try to take some Midrashim that you're not so familiar with, things you haven't heard of, and hopefully gain some insightful lessons and hear what Chazal are trying to say to us, and not taking it very simply and superficially, but really trying to appreciate what they're telling us. So there's a promise in this expression, Ki yarchiv Hashem elokecha gvulecha, when Hashem will widen your boundaries. And the various midrashim on this topic of Hashem widening boundaries. And eventually, at some point in Klal Yisrael, they're going to have some widening of boundaries in Eretz Yisrael. So first, we'll do one midrash over here. It's in Parsha. It's in Midrash Rabbah, Parsha Dvarim Rabbah in particular, Parsha Dalid Simin Yud. So it says, Mak Sivla Mala Mina Inyan, Yisham Alicha Penta Azovas Alevi. So just before this, the widening of the boundaries, just before this, it speaks about lest you forsake the Levi. Right? What's the responsibility that Klal Yisrael has to the Levi? What do you think, Natan? Our resident Levi here.
Feed us,
right? So if Natan wants to be fed by us, any other Levium in the crowd? Oh, you are. You're a Levi. She's a Levi. The Bubbits. To look for Levium? Okay. So the Levium, we have a responsibility to provide Meister for them, give Meister Rishon. And not just that, but in our obligation to fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yantif, we're told, don't forget about the Levi. You have to make sure that you're mindful of the Levium. And right next to that, it says, Ki yarchiv Hashem elokecha gvulecha, when Hashem will widen your boundaries. So a lot of the time what the Midrash does... Sorry. Oh, that was impressive. So a lot of the time what Midrash tries to do is tries to figure out, why did the Torah place certain sections together? It's called smichas aparshios. Juxtaposition is the English term for that, where it puts two topics together. What does it do with each other? So right now the Midrash is trying to address that question. A lot of the time the Midrash doesn't tell us explicitly what its question is, but over here clearly it's trying to deal with this question of why is the mitzvah, the los haseh, of do not forsake the Levi, make sure you take care of the Levi, why is that placed next to a comment regarding Hashem widening the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, that we're going to get more? So, Amar Rav Levi Lama Davar Doma, Rav Levi says, you know what, it's interesting, Rav Levi. Right? Rav Levi says, I don't know if he was Levi, but that's definitely his name. What's this compared to? What's a good mashal for this? Lemi Shomer L'Chaveiro, like someone who says to his friend, Hashileni Zahuv Echad, do you mind lending me one Zahuv? What's Zahav? Gold. So Zahuv is one gold coin. Amar Lo, he says, Eni Makir Cheshbonecha, I don't know your Cheshbonos. I don't know your calculations. I don't know how good you are with paying back. Amar Lo, he says, Bedokosi, check me out. Nasan Lo, Upara Lo Miyad. So he gave him something and he paid him back right away. He said, check me out. So he gave him like a something small and said, a quarter. And the next day, as soon as he got a quarter, he paid him back. Amar Lo, he says, Afilu tzarcha ta'ad esrim ad shlosim zuvim tolecha. He says, even if you need 20 gold coins, 30 gold coins, I'll lend them to you. Why? Mi goram lecha li tokomash at mevakesh. What caused it to be for you that I'm going to lend you whatever you want? Right, you came up to me yesterday and you said, can I have a gold coin? I said, I don't know if I can trust you so much. Then I lent you a quarter instead of an expensive gold coin. I lent you a quarter, and the next day you paid me back right away. And so now I'm willing to give you, if you want 20, 30, I can trust you that you'll pay me back. Why? What caused you that? Shasali cheshbon tov, because you did a good cheshbon with me. You worked it out well with me. You did a good calculation. Says the person, I can trust you. So too is a person, a man, that he's checked out by the way he gives off meiser. He takes off meiser. Karoi, he does it properly. Right? What's the mitzvah of meiser? So the mitzvah of meiser in the Torah that we're referring to is the mitzvah of taking off 10% of your crop, right? So if you have 100 bushels of wheat or whatever it might be, so you take 10 of them, that's called Maaser Rishon, you give it to the Levi. So that's what we're talking about primarily, but we'll apply it a little bit more to us. So if you do that, Marchivin Lois Gvulo, Hashem will widen his boundary and say, now you have one field, I'm going to give you two fields, three fields. Based on what you give, Hashem is going to widen it for you. Meaning that the Midrash says, why is the story or the mitzvah of the giving meiser to the Levi, why is that right next to the parsha of not forsaking the Levi? Because if you don't forsake the Levi, if you make sure to take off meiser properly, Hashem says, just like the person who made good on his word, Hashem says, I can trust you. I can trust you with what you have, and I will give you more. I will widen your boundary. That's why, says the Midrash, these two things are juxtaposed. And of course, you have to apply it beyond just meiser or bushels, because the majority of us, very few of us here in this room, are farmers. Right? How many? We only have three or four farmers in the room right now. Five. Depends on the night activity and the theme day, right? So for us, what does that mean? So first of all, it means regular meiser. So anybody here who is working, which majority of you are working and are getting paid, I'm not talking about how much, but majority of you are working and getting paid, and you get meiser from that. So when you give the meiser, so Hashem says, oh, you're somebody that I can trust with money. So therefore, what's Hashem's response? It works. And what? Yarchav Hashem eskvulcha. I will widen your boundary. You have money, and you take off meiser properly. You do something that I want you to do with it. So Hashem says, I trust you now. I can give you much more. Because when you first ask for a zahuv, you ask for a gold coin, but if I can't trust you to use it properly, I'm not going to give it to you. But if you give meiser, I'm able to do that even more. And I would expound that and expand that even further. It's not just to giving meiser, but it's really anything that you have. And not just taking meiser. If you have money and you use it for avodas Hashem, so Hashem says to you, you're using this properly, I want to give you more. There are many instances in Chazal where we see such a thing, where there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that speaks about such a thing, where on the Shalosh Regalim and on Rosh Hashanah we're judged for different things that happen throughout the year. On Sukkot we're judged for how much rain is going to fall that year. On Shavuos we're judged for how well the fruits are going to grow for that year. On Pesach for how much the grains are going to grow. And there are special mitzvot to do on each of these Yom Tovos. On Pesach, we have the Korban HaOmer. On Shavuos, we have the Shtei Lechem. These are different Korbanos that used to be brought, and hopefully will be brought again soon by next year Halavai. And on Sukkot, there's Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and there's the Dal Minin. And Chazal say that Hashem says, if you're doing this mitzvah now, do this mitzvah at this time. You take the Korban HaOmer on Pesach, so the next thing that we have coming up, grains, I'll give you grains. On Shavuos, you do the Shtei Lechem, I'm going to give you fruits. Hashem gives you these opportunities because he wants to see, do you use it well? Do you do the right thing with it? There's a midrash, different midrash, it's actually midrash Tanchuma, different group of midrashim, that says something very funny by Bikurim. What are Bikurim? Bikurim are the first fruits, if you remember from Shavuos night here, back next to the big, outside the big bubble, everybody was the farmer over there. So we take the first fruits, of the Shivas Aminim, and you bring them to the Beis Hamikdash, present them before Hashem, giving it to the Kohen. And the Midrash Tanchuma says that when a person brings Bikurim, a voice comes out from Shemayim, a bas kol. And the bas kol says, you brought Bikurim this year, I give you a bracha that you should bring Bikurim next year. And I always thought that's a little funny. Because who needs a bracha to be able to bring Bikurim? Somebody who clearly just did it and is good at Bikurim? He's a good Bikurimer? Or somebody who's never done it before? Who needs the bracha? What would you say? The guy who's done it before or who hasn't done it? Who has it? Clearly he needs some help. He needs some assistance. Give this man a bracha. Help him out. Help a brother out. Help him achieve the mitzvah of Bikurim. Why does the Midrash say, Midrash Tanchuma, say that the person who brings Bikurim, the one who brought the Bikurim, who did it, who has proven to be a success, why does he get a bracha to do it again? He doesn't need it. This other guy needs it, the guy who didn't show up. So I think there are a few different possible answers. But what I want to suggest is it's not a free bracha. You earned the bracha. When Hashem sees that you had fruits and they grew, Hashem says, I'm trusting you with fruits. Let's see what you do with those fruits over there. And the fruits then grow. And he takes them and brings them to the Beis Hamikdash, takes the first fruits, brings them as Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash. Hashem says, oh, this guy, he knows how to use fruits. This is a fruit expert over here, a first fruit expert. Let's bring him, let's set this guy up for success. And he gives him a special bracha. That you did it this year, and I can trust you that next year, I'm going to give you another harvest. I wasn't sure. I didn't sign a 2-year contract, says Hashem. I wasn't going to give you fruits 2 years in a row. I didn't necessarily say that. The first year I gave you, and it was a trial. I was going to see, were you going to bring Bikurim? And you did it? Now I'm giving you a bracha. Not that you do the mitzvah next year. I'm giving you a bracha that you get fruits the next year to be able to do the mitzvah. Because everything Hashem gives us is a trial. It's not just fruits. It's not just cash. Abilities that Hashem gives us. Every single person in this room has abilities, has kochos, has talents, has energy, has many brachos in their lives. What are these brachos? I mean, they're every ability that you have. And we can look around in a camp and we see a camp of people with many different types of abilities. And we see ourselves having certain abilities that many don't have, right? There are people in this camp, many, that are blind, that are deaf, that have trouble communicating, that have trouble walking. And if you have any of these brachos, so you should acknowledge it's a very special gift, and it's a bracha, and it's a trial run. Hashem is testing us to see how we use the brachos. You have family, that's a bracha. A lot of our campers, they're in homes, and not everyone has family. And not everyone has the family that you have. Everybody here has brachos, and the question is, how to use those brachos. And Hashem watches. Hashem watches carefully how we're using the brachos we're given. The ability to speak, the ability to talk, the ability to see, the ability to communicate, the ability to walk, to do anything. The money that we have, the families that we have, the homes that we live in, the communities that we have, the shuls that we go to. Everything in our lives is a bracha, and Hashem gives them on trial. And when you use those things for avodas Hashem, and you make Hashem say, I don't regret giving him or her those things. I'm very happy with my decision to give all these blessings. When that happens, then Hashem says, okay, you know what, I want to give more. That's not an exact science and a mathematical equation that it works perfectly like that, but that's the general system that Hashem operates under. That when you use the things that Hashem gives you for what he wants to give, it just makes sense that any proper business owner would want to give more. Right? If a business owner has a business, and he invests in his employees, and he gives them certain things, and if they fail, right, you give $100, and you don't get the payback, you don't get the return on it, they're not going to get more. But if every time you give somebody $100, he multiplies it to 1,000, so then load this guy up, send everything that you have, he's worth the investment. And I think that's the message of the first midrash that we're working on, is the idea that don't forsake the levi, and Hashem will widen your boundary. Use the brachos that Hashem gives you, the tova, and that will make Hashem more inclined to give you even more to do good with. Okay, we'll take a look at just one more midrash on the same pasuk. It's the next comment of the midrash. This is Siman Yud Aleph, for those keeping score at home. Davar Acher, another pshat. Ki yartav Hashem Elokecha, when Hashem will widen your... Well, Hashem will widen. It doesn't have the rest of the pasuk there. Gvulcha, your boundary. Okay, is it possible that Hashem is going to widen Eretz Yisrael? Where's it going to extend to? What's going to happen? This is fascinating. Listen to this. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, HaMegillah Hazos Ein Adam Yodea Kama Orka VeKama Rochba. This Megillah, see the Megillah? See this Megillah? HaMegillah Hazos, that's what it says. This Megillah, it could be that when they were teaching the Midrash, it could be that they actually have like a Megillah in their hand, like a scroll in their hand. That's why it says HaMegillah Hazos. It could be like, meaning a lot of these Midrashim, it's fascinating to know, a lot of these Midrashim were actual drushos that the Tanoim and Amoraim gave in Shul. When they were given Shul, I don't know, it wasn't necessarily every Shabbos, maybe some communities it was, it could have been before one like the Yom Tovim, but they would give drushos in the Shul, and they were later written down, and these are these midrashim, these are the drushos. So it could be that the Rav got up and said, Megillah Hazos, this Megillah, and he had a scroll in his hand. Who knows? I'm sorry, I didn't bring one for show and tell, but you'll bear with me, right? So HaMegillah Hazos, Ein Adam Yodeya, a person does not know, Kama Arka V'Kama Rachba, how long it is, how wide it is. When you see a scroll, you don't really know. It's true, when you have a Sefer Torah, you can kind of figure out which one's in Sefer Bereishis and which one's in Sefer Devarim. But overall, when you see a scroll, you don't know, is Megillas Esther in there, or is actually all five Megillas written there? I don't know. It's rolled up. Kishahi niftachas. But when it's opened up, hi modas kamahi. It is known how much it is. So listen to this. Kach Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is... the same way. Kol ruba harim ugvos. All of its greatness is its mountains and hills. Eretz Yisrael is very mountainous and very hilly. There's lots of mountains, lots of hills in Eretz Yisrael. Minayin shenemar ba'aretz asher atem ovrim sham l'rishta. Because we know, the pasuk says, I think it's also this in Parsha, that the land that you're going to inherit, Eretz harim uvekaos. It's a land of mountains and valleys. Entire Shemayim, Tishtei Mayim. So it's a land of lots of hills and lots of mountains. Has anybody ever hiked in mountains or hills in Eretz Yisrael? Anyone here? Okay, almost everyone. You live in Eretz Yisrael. You never hiked in hills? You never went on a tehillah on a mountain in Eretz Yisrael? Yeah. Okay. Everyone. Baruch Hashem. Right. So there's mountains and hills. Okay. And it continues. But the pasuk in Yeshayahu says, "Kol ge yinasei v'chol har v'giva yishpalu," that when at some point in the future, probably when Mashiach comes, every valley will be elevated, and every har v'giva, every mountain, and every hill yishpalu will be lowered. And the land is going to become straight. Osa shah himodas mahi. At that point, when Yeshayahu's Navi comes to fruition, when his nevuah, his prophecy becomes revealed, what's going to happen? The terrain is going to be flattened. There's going to be an even plain. And the mountains and hills will be flattened, and the valleys and the ditches will be uplifted, and the whole thing is going to be flat. And you're going to see, Ki yarchiv Hashem es gvulecha, you're going to see Hashem widen your land, and whoa, Eretz Yisrael was much bigger than I thought it was. So that's what it means when it says, Ki yarchiv Hashem elokecha, es gvulecha, Hashem your God will widen the land. It's talking about, it's not that Hashem's going to just, you know, it's not going to be conquering other areas. It means that it's going to be flattened out and lifted up, and you're going to be able to see all that much more of Eretz Yisrael that was packed and hidden in mountains and valleys and hills, and you're going to see everything as it is. So that's what the Midrash says. Question, what are Chazal trying to tell us? Okay, so it's like a Megillah. that you, right, the Megillah, when it's rolled up, you can't tell how much it is. You open it up. Same thing with Eretz Yisrael. It's like a Megillah. There's mountains. What's going on? So there's a nickname for Eretz Yisrael called Eretz HaTzvi, which is the land of someone named Tzvi. Right, what's a Tzvi? A Tzvi is a deer. Why is Eretz Yisrael called the land of the deer? Now, Tzvi really actually means something more like rutzon, like desiring, like wanting. But it's Chazal interpreted as referring to the land of the deer. What does it have to do with the deer? It is very dear to us, it's true. But that's probably not what it means by Eretz Tzvi. So why is it called land of the deer? Do you know any pshatim? Why it has to, what has to do with the deer? Ooh, okay, very good. So one thing is that a deer is fast. Chazal say, it's also going on Rosh Hashanah, Chazal say that the fruit of Eretz Yisrael actually can ripen quickly and historically has ripened very quickly at certain points because it's Eretz Tzvi, fast like a deer, very good. And then Chazal have a different pshat. They say that a deer, it's very fascinating that a deer, it has its meat is packed very tightly. Deers kind of look like muscular, and the meat is packed very tightly. And it's like almost miraculous how much meat there is. That when you like skin a deer, you open up and all the meat comes out. Like, wow, that's a lot of meat. That's a lot of deer meat I didn't know was there. And if you would try to wrap it back in the packaging and rewrap it, right, because you don't want someone to realize that you opened it, so you want to rewrap the deer with the skin, you can't possibly pack it all back in there. You can't fit all the flesh back into the skin of the deer. There's something just that in the Bria, that the way Hashem created deer, that's the case. And Chazal say that the Tzvi, Eretz Yisrael is like that. There's just so much packed in there. There's like so much flesh. You can't. It doesn't make sense. You can't possibly fit it, right? And you imagine just that, you know, trying to fit all of the Jews of the world in Eretz Yisrael, and it's miraculously possible because it's Eretz Tzvi, all the flesh, and there's so much going on in Eretz Yisrael, and it's disproportionate. It doesn't make sense how much attention the world puts on this little country in the Middle East, which happens to be like basically the most moral country in the Middle East. It's under everybody's scrutiny and their lenses and their focus and hyper-focus on it. There's something that's irrational, that's disproportionate about the land of Israel. It's Eretz Tzvi. It's the land of a deer. But I think it's related to this point over here. It's a Megillah. That you unpackage the deer, whoa, that's a lot of meat. You unroll the Megillah, oh, there's a lot hidden there. And you open up the mountains and hills and valleys of Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot packaged there. But again, what are Chazal trying to tell us? Is just something cool about Eretz Yisrael? Something much more. I'm going to suggest the latter so that we can continue this year for another 2 or 3 minutes. Right? Otherwise, we'll just end it right here. I want to suggest that what's going on here, this is talking about a big revelation, not just a revelation of how big Eretz Yisrael is, but it's talking about when Mashiach comes. It's talking about at the end of days, that there's a lot packed in that you can't see on the surface that's going to be revealed. There's a lot of mountains, and you're going to see what's going on in those mountains. There's a lot of valleys, and you're going to see what's really going on. You're going to see more of a full picture. You're going to see the whole Megillah. Megillah, the word itself, Megillah, comes, we know, people speak about it a lot by around Purim time. It's to be Megaleh, which means to reveal, Megalos, to reveal. That Eretz Yisrael is like a Megillah. And when Mashiach comes, the Megillah is going to be revealed. Because we all have a lot of questions. And there's a lot of things that we don't see. There's a lot of things that on the surface, the way we look at them, they don't seem to make sense. And there's a lot that people have packaged up in them. Everyone's a Tzvi. Right? They present one way on the outside, and there's so much going in on inside. There's so much flesh packed in there. There's so much going on in their heads, in their hearts, in their minds, in their history, in their past, in dreams for the future. Every person is their own Megillah that's just rolled up. And there's going to be a certain point where things are going to be revealed. Certain point, not in a scary way, like everyone's going to know my deepest, darkest secrets, like the goodness that everyone has inside. The treasure, because every single person in this room So I hope and I'm sure everybody here has people who love them and care about them. But nobody really knows all the goodness that you have inside. Nobody really knows how much of a tzvi you are and how much there is packed in. And it could be even you yourself don't even realize it. And there's going to be some point that day will come. The day we're all waiting for, no, it's not Afikoman. That was one day where Judah said we're waiting for. But there's another day of revelation where we're going to be able to see the Megillah unrolled. We're going to see the deer's meat unpacked. We're going to see the mountains of Eretz Yisrael unpacked. You see how amazing Eretz Yisrael is? And ourselves as well. The Megillahs of ourselves, the mountains of ourselves, the Tzvi of ourselves. We're going to be able to unpack and unroll and see how much we have, and everyone's going to be able to see how much we have to offer. But we have to be able to connect to this point of yearning for Mashiach, wanting to connect to that great day, and believing in our own Megillah, and believing in the Megillah of others. To be able to understand that what you think you know somebody, but there's a whole Megillah there that's just waiting to be unrolled with so much packed in. That every single person who's connected to the Eretz Tzvi is a Tzvi themselves. And at some point, it'll be revealed. Ki yarchev Hashem elokecha eskulach. Hashem is going to widen you. He's going to widen your boundaries and unleash what there is. But we have to be able to connect to that Nekuda Tova, to believe in the Megillah of ourselves, to believe in the Megillah of others, and to be looking forward and yearning for that day of Mashiach. And Yirtzeh Hashem, we should be able to take this belief in the Megillah, and we should be zocha to see that day of the revealing of the Megillah and the bracha of Ki Yarchev Hashem Elokecha Eskvulecha Meir B'Yemeinu.